Good morning. I'm Belinda Riley. I bring you greetings from the mountains of southeastern Kentucky. We live in a tiny town called Lynch, built by U.S. Steel. It was a coal mining town. It sits at the base of Big Black Mountain, which rises 4,200 feet. And my daddy was a coal miner. I am proud to be a coal miner's daughter. He worked very, very hard to take care of us. The Lord seems to be leading me to talk about a little bit about children this morning. When I woke up, I was thinking about my children and my grandchildren, the children that we minister to. Children need us. Children need you to share hope and tell them about Jesus. In the county where we live, just one of our elementary schools, 72% of the parents are incarcerated. It's devastating to these children. They're basically homeless. They're living either with grandparents or other family members or just anybody that will take them in. Our high school, we are consolidated into one high school now. Our high school, out of 1,100 students, 550 are considered homeless. So this breaks our heart. Much of our ministry deals with helping the children and not only praying with them and teaching them about Jesus and giving them hope in Him, which is what... Does that mean? Giving them hope in Him that they can have someone to turn to. But, you know, I heard about your shoeboxes. You know, we have many that come and minister in that way, bringing these kids things that they need. A toothbrush, toothpaste. And when you get a Christmas list and a child asks you if you can give him a case of grape juice boxes, that's what he wanted for Christmas. You know, so some of these things, you know immediately where your mission field can be. Now, I don't know what your situation is here. I don't know the poor or the needy that you have among you, or just children who need to be blessed by you. I don't know that situation. But as you bring them in and you're doing Awana's, what a wonderful program that is, and Children's Church and all of that. I remember my first Sunday school teacher. I was young, but she loved me. She would wrap those arms around me and kiss me on the cheek and just tell me how good I was and that God loved me and that someday He would use me in His kingdom, which He has. He called me to missions when I was 11 years old. I gave my heart to Him. I didn't know what that meant. I had no clue what the journey would be. But He called me and I said, Lord, I want to do that. We married young. I was 18 years old and jumped right into ministry. So it's been quite an interesting journey to do that as well. But God will lead. And just look at these children and say, you know, Lord, where are you going to lead them? There are so many of them precious. They're just precious. I just thank you for the time to be here. Blessings upon you and the ministries that you have here. Thank you.
I guess that means I'm ready to go, right? Okay. That was great, babe. Yeah. How y'all doing? Good. Glad to see you this morning. I'm glad to be here. Of course, my kids tell me, Dad, now that you're old, you better be glad to be anywhere. So I am glad. I'm glad to be here with you. Share a few thoughts today from the Word and maybe encourage you along the way. I didn't see the hands of those who raised. How many of you seen the video, It's Only Cookie Dough? Oh, there's quite a few of those. So you know our story quite well. And but I want to share with you a little bit today and talk to you some about faith. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That's a familiar verse to most of us. I'll try to break that down a little bit so we can understand it a little better and kind of share with you where God is, where we are, with the anticipation that God may touch one life in this building today, that your life can make a difference where you are in the world, because I believe it just takes one person to make a tremendous difference. If you don't believe that, look at history, and you will find that those great men of God like D.L. Moody, like Billy Graham and many others, God used one life to change many lives. You may not be the same magnitude, but it will be just as impactful as a Billy Graham or anyone else. It may not be as notable, But in God's eyes, he is the one who's keeping score. It's not me, it's not you, it's God who's keeping score. And so we trust him to do that very well. Here's what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. If you have a different version, may say a little different, but mean the same thing. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me stop here, if I may, this morning and give you a little word study. He's given me a lot of time to preach. I'm not a long-winded preacher. Somebody say amen. Yeah. I remember a seminary professor told me one time, he said, remember three things. Number one, you need to stand up to be seen. Two, you need to speak up to be heard. Three, you need to shut up to be respected. So I'm going to try to do all three of those in that order today, okay? The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, if you write in your Bible, underline the little word substance there. I asked a teenager one time, when you think of the word substance, what do you think about? That was a loaded question for him. He thought about that for a long time and sat down on the curb in the street corner, and he said to me, when I think about substance, I just think about stuff. I said, well, you know, that's probably the best definition I've ever heard of substance. Now read it like this. Faith is the stuff. It's the content of. It's the makeup of. It's the essence of your life as a believer. That's what that means. So faith is the stuff. Do you know the Bible says the just shall live by faith? Do you also know that the Bible says we will walk by faith and not by sight? Would you not agree with me this morning that if we're to live by it, we're to walk by it, it'd be pretty important we understand what it is. Let me tell you what it is not. Faith is not getting a good idea and hoping hard enough and praying long enough until God relents and does your good idea. That's not faith, that's presumption. You're presuming on God. Faith is very simple. But it's so abstract that people can't seem to live by it or walk by it. Here's what faith is. You hear a word from God, you believe a word from God, and God does it. You want me to say that again? You hear a word from God, you believe the word of God, and God does it. Now, where do you fit in? All you do is believe. By the way, the word faith and believe in the scripture are exactly the same. Same root word. But one is a noun and one is a verb if you're an English person. And so faith is a confidence in, an assurance of God. Belief is totally trusting in and committing to. Now we'll say it like this, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should faith in him should have everlasting life. Ever who is willing to trust him and commit to him, he will have everlasting life. Makes sense, doesn't it? Let's go back to this Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We sang about that today. But we use hope very differently than they used it in the original language. Let me give you an example. If I came up to you today and I said, you came up to me and you said, Brother Lonnie, I'm not feeling too well. I might respond to you like this. Well, I'm sorry you're not feeling well. I hope you feel better tomorrow. You ever use that word like that? You know what you just said? What you just said, I don't have a clue if you will or not. But I just hope everything works out all right. Am I right so far? That's not the word used here. The word used here, Paul says, we have one hope of his calling. Did Paul guess about his calling? Did he knew about it, didn't he? So that could be translated assurance or confidence. Now watch this. Faith is the stuff that you're already convinced about. That makes a whole lot of difference, doesn't it? It's the things that you're already convinced about concerning God. That's what hope means. Now watch what it says next. And then it becomes the evidence of things not seen. Now hear this. You hear a word from God. You believe a word from God, God does the word he says, and everybody sees it. It's pretty amazing. Now, let me ask you to reflect. Would your life be lived that way? That's what he said every Christian should live like. Hear a word from God, believe a word from God, God does the work, and everybody sees it. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Because faith is seeing the unseen. Paul said, we don't look at things that are seen. We look at things that are unseen. For things that are seen are temporary, but things that are unseen are eternal. How can you see something that's unseen? The only possible way to do that is by faith. The confidence and trust that you have in God through his Son, the Lord Jesus. That's the only possible way to do that. Now, let me give you an example of what I mean. Sitting in my office, God always has a plan for you. But his plan includes you, but it's for his glory, not your benefit. Sitting in my office, I get a call from a guy, a pastor downtown. We have a retreat center in Lynch, and this pastor was coming in from Florida. And he said, this pastor wants to come up and look at your retreat center. I said, well, bring him on up. So he came up, looked at the retreat center, and he looked at me, and he said, I'd like you to come down to our meeting tonight. I have a guy flying in from Texas I want you to meet. Now, we got a guy flying from Orlando, Florida, and from Dallas, Texas, and they want to meet with me. The nearest airport to where we live is 3.5 hours away. It's not just next door. Now, what are the chances that they want to come from those places to meet with me? I figure God must be up to something big. So I meet with these guys. They weren't too impressed, and neither was I. And they said, we want to meet with you again. They took me across the mountain. We live in the mountains, as she so eloquently has put. And we looked at this 25-acre college campus, a beautiful campus built by the Presbyterians back in 1914 as a preacher school. The buildings were in disarray, and we looked at that school for about 3 hours. And I said to them, well, why is it we would look at this school? Do you need my help fixing these buildings up, or what is it? And they said, no, we're the only two trustees of the old campus left, and we're afraid we're going to die. We're getting older, and the state will get this. And we kept looking for someone in the mountains who was helping mountain people, and God kept leading us to you, so we want to give it to you. Now, some things you don't need to pray about. If somebody's going to give you a 25-acre college campus, I suggest you be prayed up already. So I said, okay, I'll take it. Next question out of their mouth was, well, what are you going to do with this campus? You see, everybody wants you to come up with a 5-year plan right there on the spot, right? God's not into that with us. We don't do 5-year plans. We just take it a day at a time. Whatever God has for us this day, we're in. Whatever he has for us tomorrow, we're in. If there is a tomorrow for us, then God will honor it as well as today. And so I said, I don't have a clue. But the same God who just gave me this campus will be the same God who will tell me what to do next. You see, you don't have to figure out everything for God. He's already got it figured out, doesn't he? And so we just learned, my sheep hear my voice and they figure out what to do next. Is that what he says? No, my sheep hear my voice and they what? You know, we have a way of figuring out how to do stuff for God, and in the process of doing stuff for God, we've forgotten how to follow him. All you have to do is follow God. He has everything worked out, and when you follow God, you're understanding your own destiny in the light of who Jesus Christ is in you, and the world around you is seeing what God can do, not what you can do. Now that college campus has been refurbished, basically. We're starting our own school there because that's the original intent of that school. That would include the deaf and hearing impaired. We'll be a part of that because they're right near us is the second largest concentration of deaf people per capita in America is right near that school. And so we're excited about what God is doing and reaching a culture of people that no one else may be interested in. And it's very hard to detect who is hearing impaired or deaf. It's a silent majority, I think, in our area. And if you don't see them using sign language, you would never know. But God has a way of picking those people out. And who would have thought, by faith, we didn't see that school when it came about, but somebody called us and asked us if we could help start one, and God gave us one right in the middle of where they wanted to start the school. You understand? By faith, you can see things that no one else can see if you're looking for God to show up in any given situation. By faith, it's the stuff that we're made of. Now, let's go on down. Verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, I love words and to see what they mean. What does the word impossible mean? What? It's not even possible. It's impossible, right? There's not the slightest chance it's going to happen, right? Let me read it like this. Without faith, there isn't the slightest chance that you will please God. That's pretty amazing to me. You mean I can sing in the choir, or I can teach Sunday school, or I can stand in the pulpit, but if I'm not doing it in faith, I'm not pleasing you? Is that what it says in verse 6? Or did I miss that? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Would you understand today that God wants every life in this room to be a faith life, so that whenever God speaks, we will hear, believe, and allow God to do what only God can do. That's what God desires to do. Well, I could stop here and preach a long time on that, but I just want to encourage you today to let your life so be used of God that whenever God just whispers to you, you believe what He says, because God will show up and do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think. That's what makes Him God. Now, let me see in response what happens here. Go down to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when? Are you with me there? When he was called. Abraham just didn't have a good idea. He said, I'm going to just head out here, and God's going to show me the way. You ever heard of leap of faith? We're going to take this leap of faith. I don't suggest you leap too much in faith in the way that that's. If you jump off the Empire State Building and say, God save me, I'd say the law of gravity couldn't kick in before the law of faith. Wouldn't you? It won't be too bad. Somebody asked me the other day, how's it going? I said, it's going great, kind of like the guy who jumped off the Empire State Building past the 50th floor. So far, so good. Yeah, sometimes that's the way we are. So far, so good. But Abraham did not have a good idea, and he's going to take this leap of faith, and he's going to go out there, and then all of a sudden, God's going to pick up the pieces and put everything together, and everything's going to be all right. No, Abraham went when God told him to go. You see, that's where we get our things all wrong, get faith all wrong, when we try to do things for God and expect God to show up and bless what we do. You all take experiencing God? Yeah. Henry's big on that kind of stuff. And so Abraham went out, not knowing where he's going, but knowing that God had told him to go. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, there it is again, moved with godly fear and prepared the ark. Noah's idea was not to build a ship. By the way, if you ever come to Kentucky, we have the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. It is the actual size according to the scripture, and it's amazing. So you need to come and take a look at that. But get your billfold out, because they charge you for that, that's for sure. Pretty expensive. But it's a great investment of your time and money. But Noah obeyed when God told him what to do. Now, we want to go out and do and hope God blesses that. There's that word hope again. Don't have any assurance in it at all, but we just hope he shows up and everything's successful. Let me tell you, what God starts, he completes. God never starts anything that's a failure. Never has and never will. Now, what we do in faith is we get this good idea, we launch out into this idea, and when our upkeep exceeds our income, then we say, must not have been God's will, and quit. You better decide that before you start, not in the middle of what you're doing, and then blame God for what you didn't do to begin with. You let God direct you. You let God lead you, and God will take care of you. I remember a lady gave us a piece of land. She gave us a little parking lot downtown in Cumberland, valued at $50,000. It was a double parking lot, and just made a donation to our ministry for that. And we didn't know what God was going to do with that, but God spoke to us that day and said, I want you to start a coffee shop and let people come in and get a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, and they just hear the message of hope in Jesus. I said, man, that's amazing. Okay, now what would you do if God told you that? We know how to put this thing in place, right? We know how to do this. We know how to put the coffee shop together. We know how to get the counter. We know how to do all that stuff. But you're going to say that you had to do it. So we waited on God to do it. If God said it, he'll do it. You don't have to do it. When God says something, he will do it himself. But he will use you in the process, and you'll know exactly what to do in response to what he said. So we waited for 12 years. 12 years. Didn't tell anybody about the coffee shop because God had told us about the coffee shop. And 12 years later, this group came to me and said, would you like to use this building here? It's been empty for a number of years, and would you like to use this building? I said, I sure would. They said, what would you do with it? 12 years later, I said, we'd start a coffee shop in here, give folks a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, and they could come in off the street and hear the message of hope in Jesus. So God began to send the right people at the right time. 2 years later, we moved into Lamp House Coffee Shop. All we saw was just a coffee shop. But God sees so much more. Now we're working with addiction recovery ladies. We hire them in our coffee shop. And God is extending that ministry throughout our county and now to our state. Government has found out about Lamp House Coffee Shop, and now they want to do the same thing through the Justice Department with prisoner release, using a coffee shop in Jesus' name that churches are tied into to bring hope to those who are hopeless. Pretty incredible to me. I remember when they came to me, and they said, this building's vacant, you can use it, and we'll lease it to you. Oh, I said, oh, yeah? That's the catch, huh? You want money out of this. I said, well, how much you got to have for a lease? Now, y'all could think I'm crazy. They said, well, whatever you say is we'll do. I said, are you serious about that? They said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll give you $1 for 100 years. They said, done. So am I telling the truth? And we got this building for 100 years for $1. I probably won't be around to see the lease renewal. It's been a long time. But you see, God has a way of doing things and preparing things and giving you things in response to what he said to you. You don't have to figure this out. That's what faith is. Faith is letting God do what he said he would do. You cannot be God, and you cannot do what God himself does. But you can follow him in what he does, and you will be blessed to see the outpouring of what God does. I may have said this in the conference earlier. I don't know if I did or not, Brother Dan, but anyway. Now they want coffee shops in the Nassau, Bahamas, in the Netherlands, in Las Vegas, Nevada, Detroit, Michigan. And, I mean, they're wanting a Lamp House coffee shop everywhere in the world. I didn't see that. I just saw a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. You don't have to see it all. Just believe what God has said to you and follow him in that. And it will be amazing what God will do. Faith is the stuff that you're convinced about. And then, verse 1, it becomes reality for everyone else to see. They see it. Do you understand? We need people who are living by faith. I remember when God began to bring these ministries into being where we are, and my wife and I were doing all this stuff at one time. Everything that God brings into being, we end up doing and then releasing it to somebody else and giving it away. And we started praying for God to send us help. And the Lord began to send us in people from different walks of life, business people, those who were uneducated, those who were educated. We didn't put a marker on who was to come and serve. God would do that and not us. And so right now we have 24 full-time staff. 24 full-time staff. Now watch this close. We don't pay any of them. You say, how in the world do they live? Well, God fed 2 million people in the desert with manna. What's 24? You see, we make this hard. God has a way of providing for you when you, by faith, are confident and trust in Him. He has a way of making your provision right and sure every single time. But we want to figure out how we can do it instead of letting God do it. We decided 20 years ago, when God took us to Lynch, Kentucky, God did not give us a salary, and we have not received a salary for 20 years. But God knows how to feed us. God knows how to clothe us. And you can tell I haven't missed too many meals. God knows how to do that. But we think that if we work hard enough and if we work overtime, we can get all these things. Well, you can amass things and miss God. Do not miss God in your life. Don't work so hard trying to amass things that you forget that God is the provider of all things. Our little mining town was booming at some point. 10,000 people in our town. Now we have 800 to 1,000 at best. But God is still doing a wonderful work there. And there was people who committed suicide. People were wringing their hands, didn't know what to do. You know why? Because they trusted in something other than God to provide for them. And when Belinda and I came back, we brought the message of hope in Jesus Christ. He is able to take care of you when you yield to Him. He has taken care of a nation by feeding that nation. Can God not take care of a community no matter what the need is in that community? I believe God is more than able to take care of any community and any people. And He is able to transform and change any community if there's somebody who will believe He can. And so we just begin to believe that God could. And so when our life is on the line and folks are looking at our life to see if we're going to believe God or trust God or not, they can look at me all they want because they know I don't have plan B. All I have is Jesus, and Jesus is always enough. He is always more than you will ever need. You remember when Jesus fed the 5,000. Remember that occasion? Could have been 15,000, John chapter 6. Had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and He fed that multitude. But who did Jesus give the bread and fish to? His disciples. You and you and you and you. God gives us everyone some fish and some loaves. And when we go out and distribute that in Jesus' name, He multiplies it. He multiplies it in ways that you cannot figure out. You cannot plan. You cannot have a strategy for. All you have to do is follow and watch God multiply it. It is incredible what He does. Tell you another thing about faith. Faith is being able to see what other people cannot see. I love horses. And always have and always will. I grew up on a farm in Kentucky, and we didn't have tractors. We had horses and mules. Spent most of my summers on the south side of a northbound mule. You'll know what I'm talking about. Working hard. And when I was in Mississippi, I bought my first horse in many, many years. Began to ride my horse. When I moved back to Lynch, I took my horse along with me. And I'd ride my horse up and down beside the road. Y'all saw it on that video, for those of you who've seen it. And all of a sudden, cars started pulling off and kids sitting on the cars. And God said, why don't you go let them ride this horse? Tell them about me. I said, amazing idea. So I did. Go riding up, ask their parents if they could ride. I'd start riding kids around on horses, tell them about Jesus. They give their heart to Christ. Parents would get saved. People started calling me and said, we heard about your equestrian ministry. I said, I don't have an equestrian ministry. I'm just using my horse to tell folks about Jesus. They said, we want to give you some horses. I said, okay, that sounds good to me. So now people started calling me, giving me horses. It was an incredible thing to me that somebody would give me a horse after I just paid some pretty good dollars to buy one. You see, we can do it either way. You can buy it or let God take care of it. So I learned to let God take care of it. and so this guy's teenagers gave their heart to Christ, and he came to me and said, I think I need to help you. I said, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm pretty content. They don't charge me any boarding fee or anything like that. And he said, you need your own land to put these horses on. I said, that'd be great, but I'm pretty satisfied right where I am. He came back in a couple of weeks and said, I bought you a 20-acre farm today. I said, say what? Bought you a 20-acre farm today. Now, I live in the mountains of eastern Kentucky. She just shared with you. Lynch is 200 yards wide and 2 miles long. The rest of it is mountains. Everywhere you look out of the window of our home, you're looking into a mountain. So it's pretty claustrophobic if you're not accustomed to it. So I thought this guy bought me a 20 acres right up on the side of this mountain. And my horse is going to look funny with two short legs, two long legs, trying to climb around at you. But when I went and looked at it, I'm telling you, that 20 acres was nearly as flat as this floor, sanctuary floor. And my wife and I walked through the trees and bushes and briars, and we prayed and said, Lord, you gave us this, and we don't know what you want to do, but you do. So we're in with you. And so we began to work on that place, and now God has given us 60 acres of land. We have a youth camp and resort. We have 21 horses. And we work with at-risk kids, and we do therapeutic riding for other kids that are handicapped in some way. And all I did was just ride a few kids and gave that to the Lord. But the Lord saw something bigger than I saw. And this year, this summer, we will have over 3,000 kids and parents come through that program. All started with one horse. You see, God gives every one of us some fish and some bread. And he says, if you'll just use this for me, I will expand it in ways that will astound you. And now, not only through the ministry there at the stables at Creekside Glen in Shekinah Village, as it's called, you can go online and Google that and find it real easily. Now there are ministries in Illinois, North Carolina, and Maine, all from that one little horse in Lynch, Kentucky. I can't plan all that, but I sure am so grateful to God that he's allowed me to see what other people could not see. And I'm here to tell you that God will take the little that you have and he will multiply it in ways that the world will stand in awe of who God is. That's what makes him God. And he desires for every one of us to be a child of faith. I'm going to ask you one final question, then I'll have our folks come back and we're going to sing again. I can't believe I've been preaching that long. But anyway, we're going to sing again and we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to invite you to the Lord. But let me ask you this. If someone were to look at your life, sir, would they say, there's a great man of faith? And ma'am, what about you? If someone looked at your life, would they say, there is a lady of faith? If not, then I encourage you to bring your life to the Lord and say, Lord, allow me to begin my journey of faith understanding. What it is to walk with you. What it is to see you do that which is almost beyond comprehension for those around us, so though they would stand in awe of who you are. Now, I don't know how you do invitations here, but if you would come and get us a song, I'm going to open the altar. If I may do this, Pastor, If you just want to do business with God this morning, you don't want anybody bothering you, you don't want anybody coming and asking you if they can pray for you, you just want to come and get before God, please do that. I'm going to ask you to come to my left, to your right. And just now, if you're a prayer warrior, please don't bother these people. Just let them come and do business with God right here.